seeking the help of the Lord, the grace of dependence upon him. We venture to the word you will find in John chapter 14 and reading from the 18th verse. John chapter 14, reading the 18th verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus knew that his hour was come, that time, that season, appointed from all eternity, wherein he should suffer, bleed, be crucified upon Calvary's tree, amongst those things, those wondrous things wrought out for his own. Judas, the betrayer, had gone out from amongst them and gathered now around him were his disciples. Jesus spake unto them, as he speaks to the Israel of God, even in this present generation. He gathers them, brings them even to that condition wherein the word spoken doth fall into that ground prepared of the Spirit of God for what comfort can the gospel bring to those that have never felt their woe, a heart prepared. The Lord here administers comfort unto these distressed disciples. They are indeed weighty words which are spoken upon by those that are soon to leave this scene of this lower earth. We read concerning Jacob as he blessed his children. We read as concerning Moses as he blessed the tribes of Israel. What weighty words, not to be dismissed, but to be remembered. And here we have one, not Jacob, nor Moses, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's eternal Son, who had come into this lower earth, a body prepared for him there in that holy body, mind and soul, about his Father's business, he would cheer his disciples as he knew that they would be very distressed and burdened, and were indeed, as he spake unto them about leaving them and going to his Father. And what comfort these words must have brought to those distressed disciples. Who spake? None but their Lord and Saviour. His words, they spake of him. Never man spake like this man spake. Words which Zion will attest, bring encouragement even in the darkest hours of tribulation, of persecution, of losses, of crosses. He speaks, and he speaks with authority. The scribes, the Pharisees, questioned it. Zion rejoices in that which he proclaims, and still he speaks. Blessed Son of God, he speaks to the troubled in Zion. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. It is evident by these words, as by so many others, and experience attests to it, there are times when this people feel comfortless. But saith the Lord, I'll not leave thee there. And so it may be, even at the present time with some, or a time of much sorrow and much distress. I often think of that chapter in Isaiah, the 54th. It contains a wealth of precious promises and comfort to the church of God. And what says it? For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. I will not leave you comfortless. Perhaps as we venturing so upon the Lord, it might please him, if it be his holy mind and will, to give some encouragement here. Immersed in sorrow, feelingly without comfort. Oh, what a terrible feeling it is. Feeling to sink. But oh, the scriptures declared, underneath, not seen, but to be felt. Even for such occasions as this, I'll not leave thee. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Those arms declared as of love and mercy. And none can perish that fall into those gracious arms. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. I will not leave you comfortless. Perhaps it is the burden of sin. Oh, that constancy felt within, prone to the evils, even of the present day. The workings of unbelief, raging with such power within the breast, that such question, the very work of grace in their souls, can ever God dwell here in such an heart as mine? Sin, a burden unto this living soul. But will the Lord leave such an one? Oh, hath he not determined, having quickened into divine life, I say, hath he not determined that that soul shall be saved, and not leave thee there? One says, oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. But great, greater Lord thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon thee shine, he not leave thee? No, not in 6 troubles, 7 troubles, 8 troubles. He's ever nigh unto his sheep, and his lambs are not leave thee, nor forsake thee. Could Moses go forth with that company of Israelites without the felt presence of their God? If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Oh, think of that that went before. The provocation of Israel's God by that company whom he had brought out of Egypt. And now, oh now, oh such was their behavior that they, as they rested upon the heart of Moses, he instructed to take them forth out of the wilderness. How could he go? How could he venture without some sweet promise, without some comfort given from above? My presence shall go with thee. I'll not leave thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I will not leave thee comfortless. It doth not therefore declare that there shall not be those times when the soul feels bereft of comfort. were in such fear to be cast away, an outcast indeed of Israel. But friend, this is that that makes the gospel so sweet. Free and sovereign grace. We read concerning the Lord Jesus. He supped with publicans and sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. I will not leave you comfortless. Many are found to be at the ends of the earth, far off. What saith the psalmist in his psalms? Thy hand presseth me sore. But he comes to this a little later in that same psalm. All my desire is before thee, and my groanings are not hid from thee. Doth his hand press sore? Friend, does it squeeze out of your heart those living desires for Christ, for the blessings of the gospel? To realize that robe wrought out by Jesus, clothing thee in all thy nakedness, his sin-atoning blood, I will not leave you comfortless. Would he have put those desires in the heart? Oh, would he have brought thee into these distresses? Would he have laid thee low? Removed so much upon which thy hopes perhaps depended. If it is so, said one of old, why am I thus? And oh, we think of dear Gideon. What did he say? Oh, why then are all these things? Perhaps there's one there today, this afternoon. Why is all this? You can answer that one. This, whatever it is. Why has all this come upon us? We might look, in the nation. We might even trace it, as this concern might apply to the church of the living God. Why is all this come upon us? We might come closer still and in our families say, why is all this come upon us? We might come, yea, into our own hearts and consider that turmoil within, the conflict there that rages, and the weakness felt in combating those evils that rise up, the corruptions of the heart. Oh, why, saith one, is all this come upon us? Saith the Lord, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. David, he returned to Ziklag and found the Amalekites had brought that city to ruins. And not only that, had taken captive their wives, their children, all that they had. What saith the Lord? I will not leave you comfortless. And upon the ground of the promises of God, the exceeding great and precious promises of God, Zion is enabled to lay hold upon the word the word of the Lord Jesus. I will not leave you comfortless. And so, David greatly distressed. We read, but David encouraged himself. What ground had he? I say, what ground had he to encourage himself? Everything around seemed as if it was against him. But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He would spoke. Would he not have remembered the promises given? Would he not have remembered those helps along the way? Oh, would he not have remembered how that the Lord had appeared for him from time to time? He had not left him, nor forsaken him. He stood by him, though indeed the corruptions of his heart did exclaim, one day I shall fall by the hands of Saul. Real burden to a living soul. Fearful lest they prove shipwreck. And Satan tempts them to give up and call no more on Jesus' name, saith the Lord. Amidst that morass of unbelief, amidst that distress of the path, friends, we must come here. Oh, how can we speak of the comforts of Zion? How can we speak of that covenant love and covenant grace and covenant mercy as is revealed in the purposes of God towards his own, but that we speak of those things which bespeak conviction and indeed do proclaim that the Lord secretly is working in that soul to bring them even closer unto their God. The comforts of God's word. Friends, they're nothing to the multitudes without. Oh, put the word of God before them. Increasingly so in this day in which our lot is cast. It meaneth nothing to them. They know not the language of Zion, and they desire it not. Oh, it is as it were, those pearls put before swine. But oh, speak to the troubled child of God. Make mention of Christ's righteousness. Proclaim of that sin atoning blood. Oh, then, this exercised soul looks to Christ, their hope. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Oh, so many today, consider, they have the root of the matter there. Well established, they presume, I fear much, presume much upon the mercy of God. Who are they who truly rejoice in the comforts of God's word? Those that have been stripped, brought down to nothing, and having nothing, have no resource but to the throne of God's grace, begging mercy for Jesus' sake. Now these disciples were distressed. The Lord had spoken unto them of his impending departure. With Calvary before him, yea, Gethsemane and Calvary, still, he attended unto those needs. of his disciples. I think of that one whom the Lord Jesus Christ met. He's outside Jericho. Here was Christ on the way to that place of his suffering. At the cry of that blind man, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." What do we read? Friends, it's remarkable if you stop and consider. Alas, how infrequently we do. What does it say? Jesus stood still. At the cry of that broken-hearted, blind man, as he looked by faith indeed unto Christ Jesus, with Gethsemane and Calvary before him, stood still. "I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you." Oh, so is the compassion of Christ. Art thou blind? Perhaps the circumstances that surround thee, the difficulties now, this added trial, this fresh perplexity, this persecution. Oh, perhaps you scarce know where you are, and these things oppress you sore. Does Jesus stand still? Does he hearken unto that cry? Oh, his heart is full of compassion. His tenderness, who can proclaim it? Oh, the little that is known. Oh, it is that which causeth these souls in Zion to rejoice. I'll not leave you comfortless. Perhaps one trial has been endured. Perhaps it continues. Now another rises upon the horizon. And perhaps a little closer, it's coming closer. It's nigh, trouble is nigh. And what, oh, what shall the poor, oppressed soul do? They've got one resource. To go. This is a constraint of God's Spirit. Perish the thought of free will. Oh, this is that. Coming unto Christ with nothing. With nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. The Lord Jesus Christ hath now finished that work here upon earth. He completed it upon Calvary's tree. "It is finished," he cried. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple, that way off, was rent from the top to the bottom. That open way was made, even into the Holy of Holies. This Jesus, he who had spoken to his disciples, but just a little while before, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." They saw him in his sufferings. They witnessed his death. Yea, oh, they were amongst those that sorrowed. Deeply sorrowed, and those we think of upon the Emmaus Road. We thought, oh, how these thoughts arise. How telling it is. We thought, Yea, amidst these present troubles, we thought, no, the Lord hath a purpose hidden in them. It's concealed. All things, they're for your sakes, for your profit. I'll not leave you comfortless. I have my work to do, as if he said, unto this one who might question that hand laid upon them. I have that to perform. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Oh, we see how that he appeared unto Mary, that dear woman, to whom the Lord Jesus Christ first made himself known unto his, after his resurrection. They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. That was the anguish of her heart. Oh, that was her concern. She felt without, they'd taken him away, her very life, her very all, her Lord, her Master, they've taken him away. And what shall I do? Friends, you know something of that path. They've taken him away. I know not where he is. It pleased the Lord to first reveal himself unto this weeping woman. Woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. And so he did. And others also, ere he ascended up into glory, and is sat down now at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for his people. The great high priest of our profession, one touched with the feeling of our infirmities, one, oh, his holy human soul, he feels for each tempted member's pains. I'll not leave you comfortless. He feels the very head. He feels for that mystical body of Christ. He feels each tempted member's pains. Can you come closer than that? I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And do not we prove him to be such. Oh, the reality of these things is the walking out of them. He doth come, does he not? Sometimes through the ministry. Oh, the word is made precious. It falls upon that ground prepared. The sinner rejoices. Christ revealed. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Perhaps he's knocking at the door this afternoon, in amidst the trials of this path, and you feel perhaps even at times bereft of your senses. You don't know how to deal with this matter. It's beyond that which can be attended to by any creature. Aid. I'll come to you. I'll come to you, saith the Lord. Oh, what comfort this brings. What comfort this brings. If thou canst do anything, said one of old, have compassion upon us and help us. This kind goeth not out, but by much prayer and fasting I'll come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will. Oh, the blessed wills, shalls and wills of Jehovah. The exceeding great and precious promises that are strewn throughout the word of God. The fear nots that are spoken unto the distressed in Zion. Christ is nigh at hand. His eye is upon his own. He's watching them with that paternal love. Yea, is one whom his father pitieth, so the Lord pitieth them that trust in him. I will come unto you. And friends, who can prevent it? It comes like this. Oh, who can prevent it? He will come. He may tarry, and often does, till evening late. But hear the cry of the spouse. Come thou. Yea, be thou like unto the roe or young hart. This is earnestness. This is the cry from the heart. Lord, come, come quickly. Come quickly. Come thou, a roe or young hart, sure-footed, swiftly, upon those mountains of Bether. Yea, in another place, come thou to that bed of spices. The soul looketh out and waiteth for the coming of their Lord. How must, how must Jacob have felt after all those years. Joseph, he thought, dead. Simeon, Benjamin, now Benjamin. How must he have thought? What must have been his feelings? Perhaps with Joseph later, not so, Lord. But I'll not leave you comfortless, saith the Lord. What's the first sign? With a heavy heart he must have sent his sons down into Egypt. What was to come now? They came back with that report. Joseph, thy son, is yet alive. I will not leave you comfortless. Dear Jacob could scarce comprehend it. I believe 'tis recorded he believed it not. But when he saw the wagons, when he saw that which was sent from Egypt to bring him down, yea, to see his son, what do we read? His spirit revived. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And Jacob's lot in his latter days was indeed one of rejoicing. I often think of those words spoken by that dear patriarch. I had not thought to see, he dressed Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. But God has shown me thy seed also. Where does it bring us? Able to do abundantly more than we can ask or even think. I will not leave you comfortless. He grants those consolations. I believe I can say I stand as a living witness to the truth. When feelingly, sinking even nigh to despair, what doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, thou despairing prophet? I believe I can say, even in that time, the Lord hath given some word of comfort. Lifted up the light of his countenance and granted some encouragement to continue. Trusting in the Lord, I will not leave you. Comfortless, without comfort. We've two negatives, as it were, in this word. It was a way and manner in which conversation was carried on in the East in those past years. And it lends, as it were, authority and power to the word. I will not leave you without comfort. Two negatives. Do they not make a positive? Is it not affirmed even by the expressions used? I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. In concluding, these few broken thoughts, oh, one's mind goes to the ground. Even covenant love is not in us, is it? It's not in us. Ground is covenant love and covenant mercy. Oh, this is the hope of Israel. Said dear David, though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yea, in this trouble, through life's pathway, and then, oh then, is he not, oh, is his, the promise not past to save thy soul at last? I will come to you. And oh, as we so close, oh, think of that blessed time. Yea, that time when the ties of this life are broken, and with that soul soars to those realms above. I will come to you, yea, to gather into that haven of everlasting rest. There to rejoice with the saints above, those who like us now do wet their couch with tears on account of the sorrows of the way. I will not leave you comfortless, saith the Lord. I will come unto you. And when he cometh, oh, to these his disciples, so by the grace of God, he'll take them unto himself. And there, in the realms of glory, shall they proclaim his praises forevermore. I will not leave you comfortless. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Lord, so help us.